Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power, and boy are we going to have a terrific show for you today. There is so much in this world that makes us feel frustrated. When we listen to news, we hear all kinds of comments that are going on about some very prominent people in positions of leadership, and we get very discouraged. We get very disheartened. I was at a dinner party. The conversation went to leadership. And I thought, gee, we've got this wonderful guest we're going to have on the show today. I wish he could have been present to hear all of the conversation, and he probably would have said, wow, this is no big surprise. My guest today is Bill George, and he wrote a book along with Peter Sims called True North, How to Discover Your Authentic Leadership. And, Mr. George, welcome to the show.
Donna, it's great to be with you.
Would you mind if I called you Bill?
Well, I hope you will.
Well, thank you so much. I have been looking forward to having the opportunity to talk with you on air because the term authentic leadership can mean so many things to different people. And when I went through your book, there were so many things that stood out, and I'm looking forward to sharing many of the thoughts that you have. And you say, ethically grounded leadership is not only possible, it's often the most effective leadership at all. And you and your associate Peter interviewed 125 leaders in many areas. That is a tremendous amount of people to interview. And I want to let people know a little bit about you before you respond to some of my questions. You are the professor of management practice at Harvard Business School and the former chairman and CEO of Medtronic, which is the world's leading medical technology company. When you took that positioning, your market capitalization for that company went from $1.1 billion to $60 billion, averaging 35% a year. You have written a book about authentic leadership. You're currently a board member of Goldman Sachs, Target, and Novartis. You've been recognized as Executive of the Year by the Academy of Management, Director of the Year by the National Association of Corporate Directors, and you're one of Public Broadcasting's top 25 leaders of the past 25 years. You obviously not only walk the walk, but you also feel it's important to share knowledge and understanding with other people. This interviewing with 125 leaders, when did this all start? When did you and Peter decide you were going to become a team in doing this?
Well, I started about 2 years ago. Peter had just finished his MBA at Stanford, and a third person joined us for the interview, Diana Meyer, who's a longtime banking and financial services executive who's moving on to the next stage of her career. And the three of us went out in a period of about 6 months during 2005, interviewed these 125 people. And we wanted people who we thought were both authentic and successful, because I had done so many case studies and studied so many bad leaders that I figured that people have heard so much about bad leadership, they needed some role models for good leadership.
I couldn't agree with you more. Now, you make a statement in your book that during your time as chairman and CEO of Medtronic, and you were with them in the 1990s, you saw firsthand a lot of wrong people being chosen to run corporations. Why do you think they were chosen, and why was it that they were wrong?
Well, I think during the 90s and carried over even to recent years, we boards of directors had the wrong notion of what they needed for a CEO. I think they far too often went for the charismatic corporate savior who could come in and turn around the company on a dime in less than a year. And Donna, that just can't be done. No significant organization can be turned around. You can get the numbers better, but you can't. You take a sick culture, and many of these were, you can't make it better in that kind of period of time. It takes 5 to maybe 10 years to get it right. And so, and a lot of times, some great leaders inside got passed up. I mean, Procter & Gamble, one of the great companies of the world, passed over A.G. Lafley for a guy named Dirk Jaeger. Jaeger was, you know, doing terrible as the leader for 18 months, and the management and the employees rose up and said, we want our culture back, and they went back to Lafley. He's been there all along. He's now emerged one of the great leaders of the 21st century. But there were just way too many leaders in my generation, I'm in the over 60 crowd, who were takers. They were into how much can I get out of it for myself. And I think they were, the boards chose the wrong people. They appear to be powerful people, but they didn't know how to empower people in their organizations. And that's why great organizations like AT&T, Sears Roebuck, Kmart went out of business. Even General Motors is verging on the brink. So this is all because they didn't have the right leaders. They didn't have character-based, integrity-oriented leaders. They chose people more for the sizzle than for the beef.
Some of your comments are that we can discover our own authentic leadership right now, and that we don't have to be born with characteristics or traits of a leader, and we don't have to wait for a tap on a shoulder to assume the positioning. We don't have to be at the top of our organization, and that we can step up and lead at any point in our life. You say successful leadership takes conscious development and requires being true to your life story. What person, what particular example would you want to share that would illustrate these points that you have brought out in your book?
Well, Donna, there were, you know, we had close to 125 out of 125 who shared the most important thing to them, which was their unique life story that empowered them to become leaders. Take a man like Howard Schultz, who's the CEO of Starbucks, founder of Starbucks. He grew up in a very, very difficult environment in the Bayview housing projects in Brooklyn, watched his father lose 30 jobs, lost his health care, lost his pension, lost everything. And Howard vowed that if he ever had a chance to have a company, he wanted to build a company that his father would be proud to work at. And 20 years ago, when his father died, he had the passion to go out and acquire this little three coffee house chain called Starbucks. Today they have 13,328 coffee houses, and that's all because of Howard's passion to make a difference and to provide every employee, whether they're part-time or full-time, health care, and to create a unique relationship between the employees, the baristas, if you will, and the people at the cash register, and the customers to make you feel really welcome. Now, that's just one example. Another one's Andrea Jung, who's CEO of Avon Products. She has 5.5 million people working for her, largest organization in the world. She turned down a shot at being CEO of Neiman Marcus because she didn't want to spend her life making luxury goods for upper-class women because she was raised in a very modest Chinese family, educated, well-educated, middle-class, not lower-class. But Andrea later wound up at Avon Products and saw an opportunity to create a company that was built around the empowerment of women. So when she became CEO, she created that company and changed the mission of the company to the empowerment of women. And she sees her mission now is to help people who are in very, very limited economic situations, almost poverty-like situations, to create their own businesses in Brazil and China and Africa and all around the world. So those are two examples.
You say there are phases to developing leadership, and that leadership is not something that is acquired overnight. Explain what your positioning is on that and what a person can do to cultivate that part of themselves.
Great question. You know, we've had this question been raging among academics, are leaders born or made? I think, Don, it's a relevant question. Like anything else in life, let's take if you had a knack for musical instruments and you started playing the violin, you might be born with some musical talents, but you have to practice every day. You wouldn't go to Carnegie Hall to play unless you practice every day. It's no different with leadership. You're born with gifts. We're all born with gifts for leadership, and we're all born with unique gifts, but we have to develop those, just like an athlete or a musician. But I think you're never, as you said earlier, you're never too young. You can step up to lead like young Wendy Kapp did at 21 when she founded Teach for America. You could do it now. You don't have to wait until you're in the saddle and you're CEO of a big company. In fact, the best time to start is right now because that's where you learn how to lead. You learn in the trenches. You test yourself under pressure. you stay on track with your true north, which is your most deeply held values, beliefs, and motivations. And you can do it at any point, in any stage in the organization. But I do think you have to develop yourself.
What steps would you recommend relative to education and or actual experience? But because I agree with you, I think it's something that you can assume different things. But we have so many people that are in college or people that are professionals. They're saying, well, it's been tough. I haven't been able. Nobody wants to listen to me. What would you say to someone like that that says, I really want to be a good example. I really want to be out there and be a leader?
Well, I would say to that person, I would say take the initiatives right within your own environment. And if it doesn't work out and you're repeatedly frustrated or blocked by an organization that doesn't want to use your talents, then move over to one that will use those talents. Because what we found, you mentioned education. Education is great for developing your IQ, your intelligence, and your knowledge. But it doesn't do much, except in rare circumstances, to develop your EQ or your emotional intelligence. How do you gain a level of self-awareness? I think you do that by working in leadership situations, getting honest feedback from people you work with, learning about yourself, getting knocked down, failing a few times, having to pick yourself up off the ground, and rallying to succeed. That's where you really learn, who am I in this world and what can I do? And you gain empowerment from that. Most of the great leaders that we talk to are people that have had really tough times. That didn't weaken them. That enabled them success. Some of them failed massively and come back to be huge successes because they learned from those difficult circumstances. And I think, you know, values, anyone can tell you what their values are, but you never know what your values are until they're tested under pressure, until you can find out, if I have to make a trade-off between loyalty to an organization or to people and my integrity, what am I going to do? And we've had several leaders that told us about that very difficult trade-off. You know, what's motivating me to be a leader? Is it just personal fame and money, or is it more than that? Is it trying to make a difference in the lives of other people or creating a great product or a great service? So those are some of the things. And we got these lessons from the 125 people we interviewed, and there were a couple more. They gave us the importance of, because of the loneliness of leadership, building a support team around you and also leading an integrated life where you can be the same person in your home life, your personal life, that you are in your work life and not have to be different at work.
Oh, I think that's so true. I think that's so important. Let's address something that, again, I was having a dinner with some friends, and I was hearing conversation about various prominent individuals and very disparaging comments being made. What is it? And you have a chapter in your book totally dedicated to this. What is it that causes people to lose their way?
Well, I think people that are not well-grounded, in other words, they don't really know who they are, and they get pulled by forces out there of trying to get seduced by the opportunities of money, fame, power, and glory. And they get caught up with that, and they become glory seekers. And they don't really know who they are, and they try responding, trying to please everyone out there. Or they can't handle the pressure, and they capitulate to the challenges. And again, try to do what the loudest voice, whether it's in the media or the New York Stock Exchange or whomever, they aren't true to themselves. And so under pressure, they'll deviate from their values. They'll rationalize the results of their enterprise. They'll become all work and no play and become shooting stars that can't sustain that. So there's a series of five things we had in the book that caused people to lose their way, and we use some examples of that, but it's a real tragedy. And, you know, it's so many people at the top have done that. Every leader I've seen, Donna, who has failed, has not failed to lead other people. They failed to lead themselves. And that's where the great failures come. And that's, to me, such a tragedy for all concerned, because it harms other people when leaders get caught up with themselves more than the job they're called to do.
I couldn't agree with you more. Bill George is my guest today. He, along with Peter Sims, put together the book True North: How You Can Discover Your Authentic Leadership. One of the most powerful stories that you had in your book, or you have in your book, is about David Gergen. And would you share that with my audience? You have here, he discovered his true north, and he was the first person to serve as a White House advisor to four presidents of the United States. Share his story, because I think it's a very powerful one.
I was just with David Gergen this last week. He stayed at our place, cabin out in Colorado for 3 days, and then we were on a panel together at Aspen. So this is very top of mind. A wonderful person, probably the most wise evaluator and understander of politicians and political leaders, which I would not claim to be, but he really is. And he did serve four presidents, Presidents Reagan, Ford, Nixon, and Clinton. And he was in the Nixon White House and got caught up in this Watergate nonsense. And he believed the president. He believed what the president told him. And he was there defending the president till the end. And he said he didn't know until the day before the president resigned and that it really was all a lie. And he said that he had to write his letter of resignation. He thought many times about resigning because of the atmosphere, but he decided to stay in there. But then he thought his career was over. And as soon as the President Nixon's helicopter departed, he said his phone line shut down. He thought he would never have another job in Washington. But he came back from that. He learned a tremendous amount from that experience. It was a very moving experience for him, because to be a part of that kind of environment and say, I don't want any part of this again, and I'm going to make sure that any organization I'm a part of tells the truth, is transparent. And he's always advised future presidents, you know, tell the truth. And sometimes political leaders as well as business leaders have trouble doing that.
That's true. You have a portion of information in your book regarding building a support team. And you've got a quote by Warren Bennis, and it is, have some group that will tell you the truth and whom you can tell the truth. If you have people like that around you, what else matters? And that, to me, is so significant. How does one go about building a support team? And maybe I should put the other question first. Why do you need a support team? What is the value of that support team, and how do you do it?
Well, leadership is lonely, as I was saying earlier. And I think you need two things. You need people who will tell you the truth, like Warren said. And you don't need sycophants who are just going to tell you how great you are mm-hmm. and how wonderful. And it's pretty easy to fall on that when you're in leadership role. You have a lot of people want to impress you. And, you know, if you ever lose your job or lose your family, you find out who your real friends are. When you're a successful leader, you think you have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends. And you find out pretty quickly who the real friends are when things don't go your way. I think it starts with having one person in your life who you can be totally gut-level honest. For me, that's my wife, Penny. And she will support me no matter how bad things are, but she'll also tell me when I'm getting off track or if I'm getting too high on myself or getting too caught up with my own successes. And so that's invaluable. Now, for for anyone else, that might be your significant other, your spouse, your best friend, could be your mentor, or it could be your therapist. But it's got to be somebody who will tell you the truth and who you can be truthful with. I also have a men's group of over 30 years, 32 years now. I meet with every Wednesday morning from 7:15 to 8:30, and we talk about life. But this is a group of people. When my wife had breast cancer a few years ago, I could sit and talk with them very openly about how afraid and scared I was that she might not get through this and might not live, and that she was scared. And you know they'll be there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you need that. You can have a mentor who can be invaluable to you in times when you're uncertain or you want to test things out. I had some people at Medtronic, frankly, who worked for me, subordinates, come in and close the door and tell me I was going off base. And they were just great. And they kept the company on track and kept me on track.
That kind of clarity, openness, and integrity of communication is something really to be prized. It's very, very special. Now, you have a story about Phil McCrae, who was the founder and former CEO of Vitesse Learning, and he said he had four buckets representing the important areas of his life. Mm-hmm. And I really liked that four-bucket positioning. Could you share that with my listeners?
Well, Phil talked about your home life, your personal life, distinguished between your family life, and community and friends, and then your work life. And one of the challenges, Phil's a young guy in his mid-30s, one of the challenges young people face is that work takes so much these days. He was not very started a company, but if you work for a big investment bank or consulting firm or hedge fund, it can take every ounce you've got. Even my son and daughter-in-law in medicine right now, they'll easily take 100 hours a week out of you've got to set some boundaries around that, or you'll only have one bucket filled up, and that'll be your work life, and you won't have any other life, and then eventually you're burned out. So, but it's hard to find time for all these things, and I think people need to think through, where am I going to devote myself? How am I going to become a complete person? You know, do I have time to be there for my kids, to be there for my spouse, but do I have time to nurture friendships? And Phil was saying, at this stage of life, he only had time for the first two, work and his home life, and didn't have any time for friends and community and the other things he wanted to do. But he certainly wanted to do that because he wanted to give back through community service. So I think there are different times in our life where we emphasize different elements, but those are all important aspects of our life. And I think, frankly, they're an important part of being an authentic leader. That I think it's very hard to be a good leader if you're only interested in work, and people beneath you are not going to feel like they can have a chance to do what they need to do either.
You make a comment in your book that leaders can sustain their effectiveness only if they empower employees around a shared purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you a question regarding your positioning as CEO at Medtronic. Did you prepare other people to take your positionings when you were ready to leave?
Oh, sure. Yeah, my successor, Art Collins, who has done an outstanding job the last 6 years, took over for me and did an outstanding job. We worked very closely together for 9 years. Most of the time he was chief operating officer and the number two person in the company. But there was a whole team of other people that took over. The number two person in finance became the chief financial officer, and one of the key human resource people has just stepped up to succeed my human resource officer. So I think it's all about building a team. And I tell you, Donna, organizations and leaders that don't do that are at risk of destroying their organizations. Because if the board is forced to go and bring somebody in from the outside, you can wind up with somebody who is very powerful but doesn't really understand what makes the organization go and may make some big mistakes.
Yes, we've heard many stories about different companies. Your book, True North, covers so many different arenas. I think there's so much just to sort of chew on mentally because it has so much value. Empowering people to lead, which is just what you have been discussing with me about what you did in preparation for your leaving your company. This is one of the most significant things I feel anyone in business, actually in life, can do to other people to empower them to become the best they possibly can be. What would you recommend as far as empowering others to learn about their own leadership? What steps would you recommend to, let's say, a small business person or a person with any size of business? What would you recommend that they do?
Well, first of all, let me agree with you. I think empowering other people to lead is one of the most important qualities of leaders, and I think a sharp contrast of that, Donna, with exerting power over other people. To me, these are exact opposite. One's taking and one's giving. And when you're empowering, leadership is like love. It's expandable. It's ever-expandable. And so if you can, through your own mentoring, advice, counsel, encourage people to step up, or if they're founding their own business or they're within an organization, they can feel like they have the opportunities, and give them those opportunities. You probably remember the day when we had many women in top management.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone said, well, these environments are not set out for women. I said, look, you only got to do one thing, you know, with women. Just open the door. You know, if the door is open, they'll walk through it, and they'll do very well. And you can see the number of women in business now just doing stunning work because somebody empowered them. And if they have a different style than some of the men, great. That's terrific. The organizations need that. We need that kind of diversity of style and thought and experience. And so I think great leaders do empower other people to have the opportunity to lead. In other words, they give their power away, and in so doing, they gain more power in effect for their organizations. And organizations, I'll tell you right now, I would be willing to bet you that businesses that don't have empowering leaders at the top are not going to sustain their success. They're going to fade away, and those that have empowering leaders at the top are going to be highly successful.
In the epilogue of your book, True North, you ask a question. What will your legacy be? I want to ask that question of you. What is the legacy that you want to leave of your life?
Well, let's talk about my professional life. First of all, my personal side, I'd like to leave a legacy of two sons and daughters-in-law and some grandchildren, hopefully to come along in the future, that will be value-centered people and can continue to carry on doing the right things to help other people. And I hope in mentoring other people, I've left some kind of legacy that way. On a professional side, my business work, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, I would have clearly said it had been what we did at Medtronic and building up an organization that could restore 8 million people a year to full life and health. And I consider that a wonderful thing, much more important than any of the earnings or stock price or financial numbers, any of that. But I think now, five years out of Medtronic, my goal, my wife's goal is to, her goal is to change medicine. My goal right now, it sounds a little egotistical, is to have some impact on the future of leadership, from the new CEOs taking over these days to all the way to people just coming out of college and graduate school, starting on their leadership course, and to have higher quality of leadership. So I'm very passionate about spending my time, whether it's teaching students at Harvard, writing a book like True North, mentoring about four dozen young people now in business to have some small impact on the quality of future leadership in our country. Because if we don't, we're going to lose the leadership in the world. And if we do, I think we could sustain it, because I think Americans can become great global leaders of global companies if they do it authentically.
Well, you've heard it from Bill George, former CEO of Medtronic. This book has been very, very well received. I can tell you from having read it myself, there's a lot of support for the development of authentic leadership. And not only that, you're going to read about people that have achieved a level of success, but their positionings on integrity and value and principles that will really mean a lot to you. You have this person in college, in the family, a friend. This is a book they should have and they should read. True North is the title of Bill George's book. He wrote it along with Peter Sims. Discover Your Authentic Leadership. Bill George, thank you so much for being with me today. It's been a delight.
Thank you, Donna. It's been a real privilege for me and a pleasure talking to you.
Have a wonderful life, and I know you'll achieve many of your goals and then some. This
I hope
is
you
Donna
will, too. Thank you. Keep your show going, too. This is great stuff.
I agree. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share. We'll be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and hey, telephone lines are now open if you would like to give me a buzz. In the U.S., the telephone number to call is 877-876-5227, or if you want to call in from Canada, it's 888-815-9756, and our direct line is 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, we're so delighted you're able to join us. And if you want to call in, I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that you can ask me a question about anything that you like. Also, if you'd like to see my newsletter, if you'd like to get a copy of my newsletter every month, which is free to whoever would like to subscribe, you can do one of two things. You can go to my website, DelphiInternational.com. you can check in there, and you can review any and all. And also, if you would like to have me subscribe you to the newsletter list, which goes out every month, then just send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You're going to hear me talking about, well, for another month or so, we're going to be appearing at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. Now, this is an event I've been involved with for years, and I just love it. One, I get to dress up and be queen for 3 weekends. It's just absolutely wonderful. The dates of this, for those of you in the state of Washington, it is the first 3 weekends in August. That's the 4th and 5th, the 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. The hours for this wonderful event are 10 to 6 p.m., and it is going to be held at the Mentor Creek Ranch, 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor. Go to their website, Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take our first caller for the day. Welcome. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Holly from Georgia.
Holly, where are you in Georgia?
A little town about 30 miles northeast of Athens.
Oh, my goodness. Well, so glad to have you on the air with us, Holly.
Thank you.
And, hon, the first thing I'm picking up with you is the word education. I really think that you are wanting to hone some areas of skill. And you've had a rough year and a half. I'm just looking at you feeling like someone's been throwing rotten eggs into your journey of life, and you're saying enough is enough. I believe that for you to go in to the direction of skill and expertise you wish to develop, you may well need to examine very carefully who you interact with and who and what you are going to be a part of to enable you to hone those skills. I don't think you're going to get to the financial level you want until you have a clear idea of who and what you want to become associated with. It will be then and only then that you will see how you can achieve what you want in the way of economic independence. Also, I think you're going to move. I think you're going to be moving in closer to a metropolitan area, and I think when you're ready to do it, it's going to be for a combination of things. I think financially there will be a reason behind it, but I also think it's going to be putting you into a positioning of exposure to ongoing education and training. And I will tell you, as an older woman, you are going to be totally committed to teaching in a way and manner that you couldn't even comprehend at this time. You are definitely going to be passing your skills and your expertise along to other people. So you've got a lot on your plate right now, dear, and you just need to be focused and take one day at a time, but focus on what you want. And don't let some of the people around you that are afraid of your getting away from them, don't feel obligated where it holds you back. It's important for you to step up and step out and go for what you need to go for. That's very important. They may not support you at this time, but after you accomplish what you accomplish, they'll be patting you on the back. It's just the nature sometimes of certain personality types. Be good to yourself. You need to do that. Do you have a question for me?
Well, after all that, I don't think I need to ask a question. It's very, I identified with everything. Actually, I'm having a hard time hearing you over the phone, so thankfully you have the archives. But I've got my volume up high, and the phone pressed my ear, so everything that I could make out, yes, indeed, it does apply to me. I agree. Rough last year and a half, and financially, no, I'm not where I want to be. I do have expectations and goals and the other things. Now, did you say something about a spiritual gift? I mean,
no, I didn't mention anything like that. I said you were talented. But what you are going to want to do is find someone that you can mentor with. If you are wanting to develop, let's say, some of your intuitive talents, let me use that as an example. And this goes across the board with anything. If you know of someone that you respect, someone that you really see as representing the qualities, the standards that you want to emulate, that person or those individuals, you can have more than one, that's what you need to keep in front of you. That's what you need to keep association with.
Okay.
So if you are exploring certain areas of personal development, ask yourself when you're around anyone, is this a person that when I am with them, I feel like I come away full? This is something I can relate to because I remember the woman who was my mentor so many years ago before I started in the work that I do. And every time I was around her, I felt I walked away with something that empowered me as a person. And if I refer back to the guest that we had today, when you're a good leader, you are going to want to share and teach those who want to learn from you. That's just what you do, because you realize you cannot do it all. And so that eventually, when you're a much, much older woman, that's what you're going to be doing as well. And you will be delighted in doing that.
Okay.
So that's something I just share with you, whether you wanted to become a nurse, whether you wanted to become, you know, someone that had a dude ranch, it wouldn't make any difference. Look at those individuals that represent the best in your mind that you see as having the standards, the presence, everything there, and you say, that is a person that I would like to have as a mentor. And you can have more than one. But understand, that's what you need to look for.
Okay. Well, I thank you, Donna. That was great.
Well, I appreciate your calling in, Holly. And be sure and tell your friends about the show.
I will. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me like Holly did, give me a buzz. We have toll-free numbers here in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or if you're Canadian, 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line for everyone else, which is 530-876-3222. We've got another caller on the line. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
I'm Monica from Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Where are you from in Arizona, Monica?
Sierra Vista.
Sierra Vista. All yes. Right. Monica, when I'm watching you, I am aware there's the word gossip that's coming up and it's bothering me. When I'm looking at it, it's as if I'm seeing two sides of a coin. It's as if the one aspect of gossip you want to be able to pay attention to because it's sort of keeping you informed. But then there's another side, and it's as if there's a giant sword that is with this other side of the gossip. You need to be very careful. It would be best for you, when you hear gossip, not to respond to it, because there is going to be a cutting edge that is going to affect you. Be a good listener, but don't be a tale bearer yourself. Be very thoughtful, be very cautious. For some reason, I'm aware of a group of people around you. And you are the one that is going to set the tone for this group. So you must be alert, you must be savvy, and you must be wise. You listen, but you're going to have to separate the wheat from the chaff. Be very careful because there's a situation that's evolving where you could find yourself really being attacked by somebody. So make sure that if you are going to give a comment, especially within this group of people, that you have the facts. You're not just going on emotion, but you're thinking through and finding out what you need to know before you make your statement. So be very wise here. And this is going to be quite significant. This is a big shift for you because you've always been a very, very emotional person. It wouldn't take much. You're very spontaneous. You just give. But you're learning how to think before you speak. And this is part of the process. But I'm just looking at you being very vulnerable, and I don't want you to have that verbal injury, if you will. You don't want to do that because it's going to discredit you. So be wise. Do you have a question for me?
Well, my goodness, that is such a growth spot for me. I've always had such a hard... I mean, you even mentioned it. Yes, I very much want to learn how to think before I speak. And it's taken me a great number of years to get to the point where I do speak. And I've tried to make it a reflex action that I don't let things get by me to speak when it's happening. And sometimes, occasionally, there's been a volcano eruption.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see how being made vulnerable would be... It has already... In the past, it's come up already. The repercussions can be just awful.
What you are learning at this time, Monica, is since it's taken you a long time to come out of the silence, so you do speak up, you have learned to make that okay. Now you're in the next level of refinement, and that is thinking before you speak. When you're in a business environment especially, anything that requires interaction with other people. Now, you can't please all the people all the time. That's not what I'm trying to get across here. What I'm trying to get across is that you need to be cognizant of your words so that when you say them, they are solid, they're in truth, and not coming from the emotion. And you're learning.
Yeah.
Monica, I'm going to have to go, dear, because I've got to take a break.
Well, thank you for being there for all of us.
You're more than welcome. It's my delight and my pleasure. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
And you too.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a minute. Don't you go away now. I'll be right back with some other good things to share.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. I know we've got a caller on the line, but let me give out our phone number, 877-876-5227, if you're in the U.S. If you're calling in from Canada, 888-815-9756 is the number. Also, 530-876-3222. Welcome, caller, to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Sarah Ayla.
And Sarah, where are you calling from?
Virginia Beach.
Virginia Beach. Oh, I was just back there, a little bit over a week ago. Gorgeous area. Absolutely gorgeous.
Beach.
Yes, just love it. We have some very, very dear friends that live in Virginia Beach. And, of course, that's where the Edgar Cayce Foundation is also situated. Didn't have a chance to stop by there, but beautiful, beautiful area. Okay, Sarah, the first thing that is coming into my mind with you is you've got your work cut out for you. You have a plan, an agenda that you desire to work with. You are very committed, very dedicated to it, and you feel like you're getting sidetracked. Well, some of that which is sidetracking you is necessary, believe it or not, because you almost can have a tunnel vision positioning, and that can cause you to overdo. This really sounds a little wacky, but you really sometimes are so intense that you don't take care of yourself. So some of these diversions that I'm looking at affecting you, and it's like, oh, I don't need this, I don't need this, but actually it's been good. It's good that you have the break. I'd love to see you take some time just to be by yourself. I don't care if it's going out for a walk for a half hour or if you close yourself up in the bathroom somewhere, if that's the only place you can get to that allows you quiet, whatever works. You need it. What I am observing with you is that once you take on a project, you are just totally committed to getting it done, and you want it done in the best way possible. And you have been feeling like you have been failing yourself in that respect. You haven't been. Just keep your eye on the goal, keep your eye on the target, and understand the diversions that are coming in are not all bad. Don't lose sight of the goal. Take time to breathe in the process, because you're really getting a lot more done than you realize, Sarah. Don't be so hard on yourself. And just know the financial difficulties are going to be leveling out. I don't know what this is. I don't know what they entail, but they are going to be leveled out because you're going to be very diligent. And so it's all going to work out just fine. Don't take on any more than you have to, hon. You're really on overload at this time. Do you have a question for me?
Oh, you couldn't have been any more right on if you had tried. So the financial difficulties will lift. I'm in the process of going through a divorce.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But remember, you've got a lot of distractions. I'd like to encourage you to do some form of meditation or have something, whether it's through music, again, walk, whatever, that allows
Well, for the last 6 months, that's pretty, I mean, I've kind of been really seclusive and taking baths and doing meditation. And,
good.
And it's been very healing taking that time off.
Good. Continue.
And so you're saying I need more time off?
I think you need to remember to continue to give yourself that, because it's too easy for you to forget that.
Okay.
So if you've been doing it for the last 6 months, congratulations. Keep it up.
Well, I've just started back to work, so I guess it's to be mindful to work, integrate it with my work.
Yes. Be mindful.
Okay.
That's what you might consider a distraction.
Uh-huh.
So that's not a bad distraction. But, again, when you're having to go back to work and you've got all of these things that will interfere, don't worry about that. That's not bad. But give that time. Continue to give that time to yourself.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Can I ask you one last question?
Quick like a bunny.
Okay. How do you see my health?
Well, I don't think you've been as thoughtful about taking care of yourself as you should be. And you know that. And
okay.
You're already taking steps to make a shift and to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to do a lot of little baby steps before you're really comfortable with what you feel is best for you. But that's all right. My goodness. You're not going to be able to do a high hurdle right away without practice.
Okay.
So it's fine, and don't feel badly when you get the chocolate fix. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about that. You don't feel guilty about it anyway. You just love it.
Oh, you're so reading my mind.
Well, it's so nice of you to tell your friends about the show, Sarah.
Definitely.
Okay, hon. You take care now.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. Now, I want to mention to you, I know that we've got listeners all over the country and in different countries for that matter, but I want to remind those of you, especially in Washington, that I'm going to be appearing at the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And this is something, as I will, you'll hear me say this over and over again, it is such a delight to be a part of this wonderful organization that puts on this very significant event. One, I get to dress up and play, like I said, queen for a day, which I just love. But it is something that when you're involved in the Renaissance, when you walk through those gates, you are entering into a different world. It's a big world, a world of fantasy. You'll see fairies. You will see knights in shining armor. You're going to have all kinds of vendors with wonderful products that demonstrate what went on during that period of history. Absolutely great. So I encourage you to go to their website, Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. And again, the dates are August 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. It's just around the corner. You don't want to miss this. And we have people that come in from all over the country because they have gained such a reputation with this wonderful, wonderful event. And it's going to be held at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. So if you're going to come out, hey, plan it now. Tell your friends. Get your family involved. You can even come out in costume. And if you don't have a costume, you go to the fair. There are people, I know them personally, they'll make sure you have a costume. So you get to dress up and play a part in the Renaissance itself, which will be absolutely delightful. So I'm excited for you, and I invite you to come out and join me. I'll do many consultations out there, and I'll have books and all kinds of things. Now, tomorrow we're going to have our guest, Martha Woodruff, How to Stop Screwing Up. Does that title intrigue you? It did me. It's a delightful book, and she's going to be my guest tomorrow, and I'm just really looking forward to having her. So remember, I know we're almost out of time. You're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. You're the one that is the leader of your life. Your destiny belongs to you, but you're the only one that can figure out what you want to do, where you want to go. So reach for the highest and the best, and know that whatever you reach for is yours if you're willing to work for it and if you're willing to be true to what is within yourself. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted we had this time today. We'll be back on tomorrow, same time, same place. God bless. Be well. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.
Hi. This is singer-songwriter Kara Johnstad in Berlin, Germany, and you're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.